We begin the current daf. Masech to cite the daf Lamed Gimel. We begin 7 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah regarding the two lists that would mention what are specifically have to be said b'loshna kodesh, and what are certain things that could be said b'choloshin in any language. So our Gemara continues quoting from the Mishnah, which opened up with the things that are nemar b'choloshin that could be said in any language. So the Mishnah said tefillah, prayer. Now this that the Mishnah said that tefillah could be said in any language doesn't need a pasuk as we need it for the other ones. And the reason being, as the Gemara explains, because rachmihi, all it is beseeching mercy. And kol heicha debayi matzi, however a person wants to pray, whatever language, a person could always pray to Hashem. And therefore, that whatever language a person understands, that he could have intent and focus and have a communication and a relationship and a dialogue with Hashem, that's exactly what tefillah is. And therefore, it's obvious to the Gemara that that could be said b'chalash. Actually, which the Gemara asks the question: if a tefillah b'chol lashon could pray be said in any language, but ask the Gemara v'am Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda said la'il mal yishal adam tzracha b'lashon aramas. A person should not make his request from heaven in the Aramaic language, and the reason being is because Amar Rabbi Yehuda said kol hashoyel tzracha b'lashon aramas. Whoever makes his request in Aramaic, ein malach hasharas niskakalei. The ministering angels do not address his request. And the reason being is because Lafisha ein malach hasharas makirim b'loshna rami, the ministering angels do not recognize the Aramaic language. So we see that it's not necessarily that you could say in any language because they don't recognize every single language. So how can we say that tefillah is nemeres b'choloshin? So I think it says loikasha, it's not a difficulty. Ha b'yachad. This that it was said that a person should not pray in Aramaic because the angels don't understand is when he's praying as an individual. An individual needs the assistance of the ministering angels to address and bring his prayers to where it's supposed to go. So therefore, then, such a person as an individual should not daven in Aramaic. But ha, this that we said in our Mishnah that can be said b'chaloshin, he's talking about b'tzibur, he's talking about as a rabbim, as the entire congregation are davening together, that they don't need malachim. As the pasuk says in Eve, hein kel kaber lo yimas, Hashem will not despise the tefillah of the rabbim, of the public, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Brachas. And therefore, we don't care that the Malach HaShoros don't understand it because it doesn't make a difference. It goes straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why our Mishnah said it can be said b'chaloshin, even in Aramaic. Now, actually, the Gemara asks, V'ein Malach HaShoros makirin b'loshin arami? The assumption that we had in our question asking that how can you say in every language if the Malachim don't know Aramaic? And that the Gemara asks, is that really true that ministering angels don't recognize Aramaic? But V'tanya learned the Brisa as follows. Yechonin Kohen Gadol, the high priest, Shama Baskom Beis Kodesh HaKodeshim. He was in Yom Kippur, in the holiest of holies, doing the Avodah. Then he heard a heavenly voice, Shavuim, which said as follows. Notzchu Talia, the young ones have won, the Azlu Lagacha Kravol Antochia, that went to fight the war in Antochia, which is that the Pirchei Kohuna, the young ones of the Kahanim, who were from the family of the Chashmonaim, which was that the miracle of Hanukkah celebrates, which they were from a family of Kahanim, went to wage war with the Greeks. And they went before Yom Kippur. Now, they fought their war on Yom Kippur, and Yochanan heard a baskel, a heavenly voice, when he was doing the Avodah Yom Kippur in the holiest of holies, he heard that this announcement that they won this war. For Shuvmai said, and there was another incident, B'Shimon HaTzadik, Shashama baskel beis kodesh HaKadosh Shem. Again, he also was doing the Avodah, and he heard a heavenly voice ring out when he was in the holiest of holies, which said, "Betelas avidita," the army that was being brought to fight has been nullified. The Amar Sana that the enemy had said, "Laisal lehechalab," which he wanted to bring to destroy the sanctuary, the Beis Hamikdash, and also Vener Gaskalkas, who was the name of a Greek king, he was killed. Ubatlu gezeirosav, and therefore his decrees, which seemingly had relevance to the Jewish people, have been nullified. And because of Eisa Shah, they wrote down that moment when he had heard the baskel in the Kodesh Kodesh Mekibnu, and it turns out it was exactly the same moment when this king had been killed and his decrees had been nullified. Now the question is, Ubaloshna Rami Hoyoimer, as it's brought there in the Brisa, these messages, this baskel was said in Aramaic. Didn't we just say that the angels who are the medium of Hashem's messengers in this world, that they don't know Aramaic? So how could we have gotten this message from them in Aramaic? So the Gemara says, Ibais ima bas kol shan. If you want, you could say that a heavenly voice is different than the Malachi Asharis in general. In other words, that unit, which is appointed to let it be known to the world regarding certain messages, which is what on some level a Baskal is, that has to know the 70 languages, and including Aramaic. And the reason being is because the whole purpose of a Baskal, that Malach that makes these announcements, was sent to give messengers to every language, whoever it is that has to hear the message, sometimes this language, sometimes that language. And therefore, yes, they could say the message in Aramaic, as it was in that incident, but regarding the rest of those who are, let's say, in charge of accepting the tefillahs, they don't, as all Malach HaShoros, don't recognize Aramaic, and therefore, again, for a yochid, he shouldn't daven in Aramaic. Or if you want, you could say that actually Gavriel Hava, the one who had made that announcement, that Baskel was specifically, yes, Malach HaShoros don't recognize Aramaic, but that Malach was specifically Gavriel. The Amamah that the Master says, which is brought later on, the Vavam Beis, Bo Gavriel Volimda, as we find in a different place, Gavriel came and taught to Yosef HaTzadik, Shivim Lashon, 70 languages at the time when he was coming out to then become the second in command of the land of Egypt. He was taught the 70 languages by Gavriel. Again, so it could be that Malach that made that announcement was Gavriel, who he knows Aramaic, but again, generally the Malachim and those that are in charge of the Tefillahs don't recognize the language of Aramaic. Now, the Gemara continues quoting from a Mishnah that said, Birchas Amazin, benching, the grace after meals, are also said in every language. Now, Rashi points out that here the Girsa is not Minolon, from where do we know this? And the reason being is because you don't need a Pasuk to prove that it can be said in every language, because why would you think it has to be said in would have to be said in Lashon HaKodesh? So what's the source? Because it says in the Pasuk in Devarim, it says, V'chalta v'savato v'rachta s'Hashem l'kecha. You will eat, you'll be satiated, and you'll bless Hashem your God. In any language, you could bless Hashem, and the Pasuk doesn't tell you specifically a language that is Lashon HaKodesh what to say. So therefore, it's obvious that it could be said in any language. Then the Mishnah said, Shvuah se'edus. If a person takes an oath that he doesn't know testimony for these people, and turns out he lied, so whether if, no matter what language that oath was taken in, he'll be liable for the carbon oil b'yerid. Now here actually Rashi, unlike Argamar, has the girsa minnalan. Where do we know this from? And Rashi explains why that would be a question, because if we wouldn't have a pasuk, as the Gemara is going to quote, we would have thought to say that actually the shvuah sa'edus would be the same as the shvuah, as the oath of Har Grizim and Har Evil, which we brought on the previous daf, had to be in Lashon HaKodesh. So we would think that here also shvuah sa'edus would have to be that oath in Lashon HaKodesh. So David the Gemara answers, how do we know it's b'chalosh and d'chsilik? It says the pasuk in the Yikra, v'nefesh ki secheta, that the person that's going to sin, v'shama koil olan, that he hears the voice of the oath, in other words, from the fact that it doesn't say vishbi'uhu ba'Allah, that they're going to make him swear in this oath, it just says that he hears it, means to say b'chalosh and shehi shemaz, in any language that he hears, that they say, oh, are you telling the truth? Are you swearing that you don't know testimony? He says, yeah. So therefore we see from the word b'shama, whatever language he hears will be valid to be chayim in the carbon oil of yared for swearing falsely in the shvuah ha'edus. Then the last one the Mishnah said was shvuah ha'pikadon, that if someone denies through an oath that he has a deposit of someone else and turns out he was lying, so he's chayev for Hashem Gezelis. How do you know over there that it's also b'chaloshen? So asya techa the shvuah ha'edus, that's learned from Gzer Shavu where it says techata that he sinned by the Shavuos HaPikadon, it says Techet B'Shavuos HaEdus, to tell you just like Shavuos HaEdus is B'chaloshen, so to Shavuos HaPikadon. Now the Gemara quotes from our Mishnah that then said, Ve'ilu Nemar in B'Lashon HaKodesh. However, this next list has to be said specifically in Lashon HaKodesh, the Hebrew language that, again, of biblical Hebrew that written in the Torah. So they are Mikra Bikurim, that's the reading of the Parsha Bikurim, the first fruits, the Chalitza, and the procedure which the Yavama and the Yavam, they say these certain languages when they're doing chalitza, b'chul, etc. So the Gemara says, ad, until, meaning it's saying like etc. to get to the later point in the Mishnah, which it says, mikr bikurim ketzad. It says, so how does one fulfill the obligation? Meaning what's the source that the parasha bikurim, which is what's said over there, has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh? Because it says, v'nisa v'amartlof ne'ashem lekecha, that you will answer and you will say in front of Hashem your God, the whole parasha that says over there, Arami Eved Avi. Now, Ulahal Noim, in a different place it says, V'anu ha'lavim v'amril kol yesh Yisrael, regarding Har Gerizim and Har Evil, regarding the kolos and the brachas that they will ultimately make when they cross the Yarden, says that the Levim will answer and they'll say to every Jewish person, So ma ani hamur lahalim lashon hakodesh. Just like over there, it was said in lashon hakodesh. Avkam lashon hakodesh. So to over here by Bikurim, where it also says anu and ani and amira, it also has to be in lashon hakodesh. Now the Gemara asks, v'levim gufayim anolam. Where do we know you're learning out Bikurim from the Levim by Har Griz Mahar Evil that just like there Lashon HaKadosh, so to over here, how do we know that over there was Lashon HaKadosh? So now the Gemara says, Asiya Kol Kol Mimoshe. We're learning that Gzeir Shava of the word Kol by the Kololos of Har Grizim, and the word Kol that it says by Moshe Rabbeinu. Ksiv Hach, it says over here, Kol Ram, and uses the word Kol, the voice. Ksiv Hasim, it says over there, Moshe Yedaber, V'alikim Yenen B'Kol, and Moshe would speak, and God would respond in the voice. Now that pasuk is by Matan Torah, by the giving of the Torah, and obviously Hashem gave the Torah in Lashon HaKodesh. So Malahalam Lashon HaKodesh, just like over there, it's in Lashon HaKodesh. Avkam Lashon HaKodesh, so to over here, it is in Lashon HaKodesh, and that's how we know, again, because Matan Torah, that is the Torah which is in Lashon HaKodesh, which then we learn a Kol Kol to Levim, and we learn that from Ani and Amir, from Levim, to Mikra Bikurim, which is also only in Lashon HaKodesh. Now the Mishnah said, Chalitza Ketzad V'chulu. How do we know that Chalitza, that the psukim that she says, that Moin Yevimti, that my Yevama doesn't want to do it, and he says, yes, I don't want her, and then she says, Kachi Yasaleish, that those psukim have to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. So on that, there was a machlikis in the Mishnah. How do we know that from? The Tanakhama said, we know that Gzeir Shava from the Klalos V'Hagriz Mahar Evil, where here it says, V'Ansa Isha V'Amra, it says, Ani and Amira. As we said, that Levim also has Ani and Amira, just like over the Lashon HaKodesh, over here. Whereas Rabbi Huda actually said, you don't need a Gzeir Shava. Says you can know it from the parasha of Chalitza itself, where it says that the woman says, V'ansa V'amra Kacha, she answers and she says, like this. Now, what does like this mean? Like this means exactly as it says, which in Lashon HaKodesh, as the Pasuk is written, and not in any other language. So the Gemara asks Rabbanon, Hai Kacha, this Kacha, again, which it says in Dvarim Chafei Pasuk Tes, V'amra, that it says v'ansa v'amra, that she answers and she says kach yasalish. This is what's done to a man who asher lo yibnes beis achav, that doesn't build the house of his brother, meaning he doesn't want to do yibn. My avdile, what do they do with the word kacha? Because they don't use it to say that it should be exactly like this. So what is kacha coming to say? So now the Gemara says mibaylohu, they needed ledaver shuhu maisa, for whatever is an action in regards to the parsha of chalitza, that is ma'akib. That is necessary to be done. For example, the chalitza, which is an action to taking off the shoe, and the rikika, the spitting on the floor. Because everyone agrees the word kacha sounds like it's ma'akib. It will withhold the validity if you don't do this. It has to be like this, that you can't change this. Now, but according to the Tanakhama, the Chachamim, the word kacha is near the word ye'asa. To say, meaning not like Rabbi Huda, who learns kacha on v'ansav amr. It says v'ansav amr kacha ye'asa l'ish. Yehuda learns of ansav amr kacha, has to be, the amir has to be exactly as it's written Lashon HaKodesh. Chacham don't learn like that. They learn that v'ansav amr kacha ya'asa le'ish. The kacha is going in the asiyah. Whatever is done to the man, the chalitza, the rikika, that's kacha, that has to be, that's ma'akev. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, what does he do? Mikai kacha. The word kai itself would tell us this concept. Why I say kacha, the extra chaf, that tells you both are ma'akev. A, the Asiya, the Chalitza and the Rukika, and also what was the Pasuk was saying before, which is the V'ans of Amra, has to be in Lashon HaKodesh. But Rabbanan Kai Kacha Le'mashma, Rabban don't hold that of that inference of the extra Chaf to say that the difference, it could have said Kai instead of Kacha, to learn both, they only learn out one thing, which tells you the Mais is Ma'akiv, but regarding the Lashon HaKodesh, that they learn again from the Gzeir Shava, from the V'ans of Amra to the Ani and Amir that it says by the Levim, by the clause of Har Grizim and Har Evil. Now the Gemara continues on Tamid Beis and asks, Rabbi Huda, hi, this Gezer Shava of the Ansa V'Amr, my Avidle, what does he do with the Gezer Shava? Because again, the Chacham used the Gezer Shava to tell you that by Chalitza has to be Lashon HaKodesh. But Rabbi Huda doesn't need the Gezer Shava, he says you know it from Kai Kacha, from the fact that it says Kacha. So what does he do with the Gezer Shava? So the Gemara says actually that Miboyle, he needs the Gezer Shava, Lagmur l'levim de b'loshna kodesh. Actually, the other way around of the Chacham. Chacham say that you know that the parsha of Chalitza needs to be b'loshna kodesh from the levim. Rebbe says the other way around. Says, how do we know that the levim by Har Griz Mahar Evil was in loshna kodesh? We know that from Gzeir Shava from Chalitza. Which, how do we know Chalitza needs to be in loshna kodesh according to Behuda? From Kacha. Now the Gemara asked, but leilav kol mimoshe. But why don't they learn, as we had explained in the opinion of the Chachamim, that how do you know the Levim had Lashon HaKodesh, not from Chalitza, but rather because it says Koil Ram by the Levim, by Hargrizim HaRebel, and it says Koil by Moshe Rabbeinu by Har Sinai, just like over there was Lashon HaKodesh, so to over here. So the Gemara answers, Aniya Aniya Gomer. Rabbi Yehuda had learned a tradition of the Gzeir Shava of the word Aniya by Levim, and Aniya by Chalitza. That's what he learned from his teacher. But the Gzeir Shava of Koil Koil Loi Gomer, he didn't have that tradition, he never heard that. Now, although Gzeir Shava seems like a very easy thing, you just match up, oh, it says Koil here, okay, let's make different comparisons. You can't. It's something that has to be a Mesira from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's one of the Midrash HaTorah in Jeshapen, but you can't make it up on your own. He didn't have that Mesira. Could be there was such a Mesira of other teachers. He didn't have that tradition, and therefore he couldn't say that that's where you know that Levium by Hargrizim HaRebel had to be Lashon HaKodesh, and rather he actually learned that he had a Gezer Shava, but from Levium to Chalitza. So he learns from that Gezer Shava. What does that come to teach? That actually Levium are being learned from Chalitza, just like Chalitza is in Lashon HaKodesh, again from Kacha, so too Levium, which learns out from Chalitza, the opposite of the Chachamim, also has to be in Lashon HaKodesh. Tanya Amahalchi, similar in the Braisa, like we had just said, that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Kamokim Shenema Koi, or Kacha, or Aniya Va'amira, if it regards something that has to do with speech, in El Lashon HaKodesh has to be in the Hebrew tongue, in Lashon HaKodesh. For example, when it says Koi, like by Koi Sevarchu, which in regards to Nesias Kapayim, that we're actually the Rabbanan learn later on the Flam Chesem and Aleph, how do you know that Nesias Kapayim, as I mentioned in the Mishnah, has to be in Lashon HaKodesh? They learn that from Gzeirah Shavah. But Rabbi Yehuda over here in this Brayis is saying that no, you could learn that from the parashah of Nesias Kapayim itself. From using the words Koy Sevarchu, that this is how you should make the bracha, means like this in Lashon HaKodesh. Kacha, we have by the Chalitza, like we had just explained before, where by Chalitza says, V'na'ansav Amar Kacha, that Kacha by the parashah of Chalitza says it has to be in Lashon HaKodesh. And then Niyav Amir de Levim, which is, in other words, regarding the halacha of the Levim, where although they're abundant, again, as we mentioned before, learn out from Kerl Kerl from Moshe Rabbeinu by Har Sinai, that's what Rabbi Yehuda comes to say, that no, the reason how you know that Levim by Har Grizim HaHebel was in Lashon HaKodesh was learned out from, it says over here, Aniya, of responding. By Yavama it says Aniya, and just like by Yavama, by Chalitza, where it says Kacha, tells you Lashon HaKodesh, so too by Levim, where it says Aniya and Amira, we learn out from there where it's also Aniya and Amira to tell you that it also has to be in Lashon HaKodesh. Now, the Mishnah then continued and said, Abrachas v'klolas ketzat, where it goes into detail, where one of the things that we said has to be in Lashon HaKodesh, was the blessings and the curses by HaGrizim and HaRebel, which was this one-time event in history that when the Jewish people crossed over the Jordan River into the western part of Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah says, how did this happen? So, Kivin Sha'avi Yisrael, so Yarden Mechulu, so once the Jewish people crossed over the Yarden, so then they came near Shechem, and that's where HaGrizim HaRebel was, and that's where they went and did the brachas and the klolas. So actually, the Gemara quotes a brisa that has it as a machlek is exactly where was this Har Grizim and Har Evil. Turn up on within the brisa. The pasuk in Bamidbar, the pasuk in Devarim says that when the Jewish people were in the desert, so it was told to them that the simanim, the signs of where exactly are these Har Grizim and Har Evil and where they're located. As the pasuk says, it says Hashem told them Haloihima be'eva Har Yarden. Behold, they are on the other side of the Yarden, which the Jewish people at that time were on the eastern part of the Yarden, as it says by the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuben that took their part of the inheritance of Eretz Yisrael on the other side of the Yarden towards Kedma Mizracha, towards the east, which means say because they had not yet gone to the other side, which is to the west. So they were being told that these mountains, however, were on the western part of the Yarden, which as the Gemara explains, Me'evu LeYarden Ve'Elich, meaning far over when they're going to cross over the Yarden. And but not near the Yarden itself, not near the river itself on the western side, but rather further away on the west. That's the Rabbi Yehuda. Now, as he explains, how does he know this? As the pasuk continues, Achrei derech mevoy hashemesh. Now, it means far away from the path of mevoy hashemesh, of the travels of the sun. Now, what is mevoy hashemesh? And this is actually part of the machloikis. He holds that that's a reference to the east. Because what's Mevoy HaShemesh, the path of the sun? It means Makom Shecham Ezerechas. It means the place where the sun rises from. I mean, the sun comes from the east.
So we're saying the Mavoi HaShemesh, the path of where the sun comes from. So we're saying far away from where it comes from, meaning it comes from the east. So we're saying far away from the eastern part of the Yarden, meaning all the way to the west, that's where these mountains are, Har Gizim, Har Evil. The reason is, as it's brought in Medrash and Bereishis Rabbah, wherever it says the word acharei, not achar, acharei, it means far away. So if it's saying acharei derech mavoi HaShemesh, it means to say far away from the path of where the sun goes from, which is from the east. So we're telling you that this is far over, when you're going to cross over to the west, over the Yarden, it's going to be far towards the west. As the pasuk continues, Be'eretz HaKanani HaYeshu Barav, it's in the land of Canaan, which is settled in Arava, in the plains. Now, Elu Har Gerizim Har Evil, Sheyeshem Hem Kutim, this is a reference to the mountains of Gerizim and the mountain of Evil, which is where, as Rashi explains as part of the Gemara, which is where at this time the Kutim, these are the Kuthins, which were, that's where they settled in this part. Minikas Sancheriv, what he did was that he exiled the 10 tribes, the Aseret HaShvatim, which was the Malchus of Yisrael, not Malchus of Yehuda. As the Pasuk says, Vayovei Melech Asher, the king of Assyria, the Sancheiru came and he took people from Bavel, and he actually brought them into the cities of Eretz Yisrael where the rest of the 10 tribes were, in the cities of the Shomron, as it says in Malachim Beis. And that's exactly where HaGrizim HaEvil was, which was in the Shomron, which is, as the Mishnah says, it was B'Shomron. So that's where the Kutim are right now. That's what we're saying when it's Be'eretz HaKanani HaYeshu Ba'arava, which was, as the pasuk continues, Mul HaGilgal, meaning it was opposite Gilgal, meaning Samach LeGilgal was near the area of Gilgal, meaning all the way in the west. Eitzel Eloi Nemayr, as the pasuk says, which was near Eloi Nemayr, which the Gemara explains, it's a reference to Shechem. How do we know that? Because Ulahalanu Oimer, there's a different pasuk that says, in Bereishis, Vayavar Avram Ba'aretz Ad Mokim Shechem Ad Eloi Nemayr, that Avram went in the land of Canaan until he came to Shechem, until Eloi Nemayr. So we see Ma'Eloi Nemayr Ha'amar La'alon Shechem, just like over there when it was referencing Eloi Nemayr, it means Shechem. Avkan Shechem Masoto, over here when it says it was near Eloi Nemayr, it means near Shechem. Again, that's because this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda holds that it was all the way west, far away from the Yarden. Now Tanya Lutna in the Braisa, which actually Rashi says not to be gurus, this word Tanya, because actually in the Sefrid, this is all brought as one long Braisa. Amr Belozer Reb Yisi says, "Bedavar Zeh was on this idea that Ziyafti Sifri Kutiyim, that I refuted the Chumashim, the Svarim of the Kutiyim, because they only hold the Torah Shabbat of the written Torah. They don't believe in Torah Shabbat and the oral law to understand the Chumash. Now, Amar Tlem, I told them, Ziyaftim Teraschem, you yourselves have refuted your own Torah. Why? And moreover, V'lohelisim B'yotchem Klum, you didn't gain anything. Sha'atam oimrim Eloi Nemayr Shechem, you say that Eloi Nemayr is reference to Shechem. Now, says Rebbe Elazar Reb Yisi, af anu moedim she'Eloi Nemayr Shechem. Now, the reason why they were doing this is because that's where they lived in Har Gerizim Har Evil. Now, they wanted to make as if they're the ones that are doing the right religion, which is to serve on Eloi Nemayr, Har Gerizim Har Evil, as if it's a big place, which is near Shechem. So he says, af anu moedim she'Eloi Nemayr Shechem. We also agree that Eloi Nemayr is Shechem. But Anu Lamda Nuab Gzer Shava, we know it from Gzer Shava, again, as we learn it out from Avraham Avinu. Atem B'malam Adatem, how did you learn this? In other words, your whole case that you're presenting that, oh, you're on the right place is only because to say that Eloi Nemayr is a reference to Shechem, which is where you are, but you only know that from the Torah Shabbat Peh, and you don't agree to Torah Shabbat Peh, and that's how he refuted them from your whole case that you're presenting as if you're in the right place. And this, the mighty mountains of Har Gerizim Har Evil would only be based on the oral law, and you don't hold of the oral law. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rabbi Elazar Amar, he argues. He says, when the Pasuk says, when they were being told what's going to happen in the future in times of Yeshua, that they're going to come to Har Gerizim Har Evil, the Levim, and they're going to do the whole thing with the Brachas and the Klalas, they were told, behold, that it's in the other side of the Yarden. He says it's actually Samach LeYarden. It's near the Yarden itself, near the Jordan River. And he explains, the Imei V'HaYarden Ve'elach, because if you would think like Rabbi Yehuda said, that it's far away from the Yarden, HaLeik Siv, but the Pasuk says that V'Hoyu Ba'Avrachem Es LeYarden, that it's going to be when you cross over the Yarden, which sounds like that day that you pass over the Yarden, you're going to be, as the Pasuk there says, placing the stones on Har Evil. Now, but if it's very far away, you're not getting there in one day. So therefore he says it was right over the Yarden. And when the Pasuk says, Achri derech mavoi HaShemesh, which again, as we explained, that Achri means far away, from the path of the trajectory of the sun, he means that he learns that it's actually far away from the west, because as we said, Achri is far away, and Mevay Hashemesh, he learns, is actually a reference to the west, because as we find the pasuk in Bereishis, is Kiva Hashemesh, as it's translated over there, because the sun has set. So he learns that Mevay Hashemesh is Makom Shachama Shekas. It's a place where the sun sets. So far away from where it sets, meaning to say that's where the Hagri is Ma'ariv, meaning it's towards the east, because it's right next to the Jordan River, right over it, which is in the east and not on the west. Now, when the Pasuk says Be'eretz HaKanani, in the land of the Canaan, it's actually not Canaan, rather Eretz Chivihi. Rather, everyone has to say that it's the land of the Chivi. Now, there's the Canaan, Echitia, Moirid, there's all different types of people there in Canaan. So it's actually not Canaan, it's actually Chivi. And the reason being is because since as the Pasuk, as we interpreted it, that Elohim Mori is Shechem, that's Chivi, as the Pasuk says, that in Bereishis, Vayav Yaakov Shalim V'goymer, that he came to Shalim Miksiv, and it says over there, Shechem ben Chamor HaChivi Nasi HaAretz. Shechem was the son of Chamor, of the Chivi, who was the prince of the land, that was his father Chamor. So it's not really Canaan, it's really the land of Chivi, because it's Shechem. But the question that's being asked by Rabbi Laza on the opinion of Rabbi Huda is the Pasuk says that it was Be'eretz HaKanani, again, which we're explaining really means Chivi, but all of the lands of Eretz Canaan are called based on the nation of Canaan, says Hayeshiv Ba'arava, that dwells in the plains. But the problem is, but the Chivis only live in mountainous regions. So how can you say that this mountains of Har Griz Mahar Evil, which was in Shechem, was in a Arava, in a plain, when the Chivi lived in mountains and small mountains? Now, more of another question that Rabbi Elazar has is, Mul HaGilgal, that it was opposite Gilgal. Question is, V'haloi Leroes HaGilgal. The Jewish people at that time never saw Gilgal. They were very far from Gilgal. And all these signs weren't said for them, so the question is, for what purpose was it being said? So rather, the Gemara clarifies, and as Rashi says, that Rabbi Elazar himself also has to rely on this interpretation of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and he also explains the latter part of the pasuk like him, that it's actually coming to say something very different. It's not giving markers and indicators like the first part of the pasuk regarding where Har Griz and Har Evel is. Rather, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, he says, Loi baha kasab. The end of the pasuk is not coming to identify Har Griz and Har Evel, El Laharis Lahen Derech Bishnia. Rather, it's coming to direct the Jewish people in their second half of the phase of their path from leaving Egypt to Eretz Yisrael, Kederech Shehar Lahen Berishayin, as Hashem already had showed them the path in the first phase of their leaving of Egypt, which when they left Mitzrayim, they had the Amr Ha'anan, which was, as the pasuk says, Lanchois Maderech, which the clouds of glory showed them the path how to go. Now, what Hashem wanted to do over here in this pasuk was to do the same thing, to straighten their path and to show them the way how to get the most opportune and ideal way to Eretz Yisrael. And the reason being is because it was revealed in front of Hashem that when Moshe Rabbeinu is going to pass away, that the Anani HaKovet are going to be removed and they're not going to go together with Yeshua into Eretz Yisrael. So what he did here in this pasuk was he directed to them that after they go over the Yarden to conquer the land of Eretz Yisrael, they should go in an area which is already settled and conquered through the land of Eretz Kanani, which is Narava, which is flatlands, and that they shouldn't go around the edge of the Yarden itself through the land of the Chivi, because you're right, that is mountainous land. Rather, they should go in from the towards the western part, which is far from the Yarden. And that's where they should come around, actually, from there, from the west, and conquer from that side. As the Gemara explains, when the Pasuk says Derech, again, well, up until now, as Rabbi Huda had been saying, he was interpreting the markers for Har Griz Mahar Evel, Rabbi Elazar says, from Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, a whole different interpretation. Derech means, when you're going into Eretz Canaan, you should go Baderech Lechu, B'loi B'sadis HaKram, go on roads, don't go in fields and vineyards. When it says Hayeshev, that was telling you Beyishev lechu v'loy b'midbaris. Go through settled parts, don't go in deserts. But Arava, That meant Ba'arav Elohu, go through plains, meaning straight lands of Leibahar Mekvais, and don't go through mountains and small hills. And again, that's according to Rabbi Elazar. So we have a machlokes exactly where was Hagrisim HaEbel. Was it all the way to the west, or was it actually more towards the east, right over the Yarden? And we also have a machlokes regarding how to interpret the last part of the pasuk. Was it a way of giving markers for Hagrisim HaEbel, or as like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, it's a whole different idea. It's telling you what is the way that you should take in upon your entrance and your direction coming into Eretz Yisrael to conquer the land. Now, continuing on this theme about crossing over the Yarden, so Tana Rabbanan Lina Braisa, Ketzad Avri Yisrael Es HaYarden, how did the Jewish people cross over the Jordan River? So the Braisa tells us, B'chol Yoyim Aron Neiseya Achar Shnei Degom, every single day when they would be traveling, the Ark actually would go behind two different camps of the Jewish people. Like it says in Parashas Nasa regarding the different Masois, how they traveled with the Golem, the different camps, there was one in front and there was on all four sides, and then they would go in a straight line. So you had two in front, two behind. But Vahayim Nasa Tchila, today, when they were crossed over the Yarden, the Ark, the Aron, was actually in the front. Shnem, like it says a pasuk in Yeshua, Hine, behold, Aron HaBris Adin Kala Aretz, the Ark of the Covenant from the ruler of the whole land, Oivilef Nechem, goes in front of you, which sounds like in front of everybody. So though generally it's in the middle, today it was in the front. Moreover, every single day, the Levim would be the ones that would carry the Aron, which were from the family of Kohas, as the pasuk says, Mamidba Paragimel, Umishmartam, and the duty of the family of Kohas was Aron v'Hashulchan. But today, when they went into the Yarden, when they're crossing over, then the Kohanim carried it. Like it says in the pasuk over there, v'hoyo, that it was Kinoyach Kapos Ragli Kohanim, when the soles of the feet of the Kohanim settled inside the river, Nisi Aron Hashem, Begamer, that carried the Aron of Hashem, as we're going to see in the coming daf, there was a miracle that happened when they crossed the Yarden, that similar to Kriyas Yamsev, where the water dried up where they were going and they were able to cross over the Yarden. Now, Tanu Loin Nabraiser, Bisa Emer, he says, B'shleshim Mekayim is Nasu Kohanim as Aron, like we just said, but there was three places where instead of Levim, the Kohanim carried the Aron. One is, as we just mentioned, Kishaber Es HaYarden, when they crossed over the Yarden. Second time was Ukashehei Sevu Es Yerichai, when they circled Yerichai. It says in the pasuk that Beyikra Yeshua Benun Ela Kahanim, that Yeshua called out to the Kahanim, B'Yirmalim, and said to them, Su'u Es HaRein Bris HaShem Ukemer, carry the ark. And that's how they circled until the walls fell down. So again, there was also the Kahanim. And the third time was Ukashehezduhu Limekaimai, when they returned the ark to its place, then the Kohanim carried it. What does it mean to its place? So Rashi explains it was in the days of Shlema Melech when they brought it to its final resting place of the house of the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Holiest of the Holies. Because it says in the Pasuk, over there, Vayivoyi Kol Zikni Yisrael, that all the elders of the Jewish people came, Vayisu HaKohanim Es HaAron, as the Pasuk says in Malachim Aleph, that Kohanim carried the Aron. Now, why is it called Hechzeru LeMekayimai, they returned it to its place? The reason being is because that in the exile on the days of Eli, the Ark was exiled from the Kodesh HaKodeshim of the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu had made in the Midbar, where from there it was taken, and the Mishkan was established in Shiloh. When the Pelishtim who took the Aron gave it back, then they didn't have a place where to put it, and the reason being by that point already the Mishkan Shiloh was already destroyed. So what they did with the Aron, when they got it back from the Philistines, from the Plishtim, it stayed in this house of Avinadav. And from there, David brought it after 20 years to the house of Ovid Edom. And from there, it went to Ir David, until Shlomo Melech built the Beis HaMikdash, and he built what's called a Devir, meaning the Kodesh HaKodeshim, from within the area of the Heichel. And he had this Amatrax in this wall that separated in the place of where the Pareches was by the Mishkan, of the Moshe Rabbeinu had made. And that's what's called Mekoymai, to its place, which is always designated for it, as the Pasuk says over there, Vayivoyu HaKahanim Asarin Bris Hashem El Mekoymai, they brought it to its place, which was El Dever HaBayez Vagama, which is, as is known, in the Kodesh HaKodesh, in the Holies of Holies, that's where it was, Echshechziru LeMekoymai, was brought back to its place. That was also, like the other two times, uniquely, although generally it was carried the Aron by the Levim, it was carried by the Kahanim.